You're about to hear a preview of Partially Examined Life supporter exclusive content. To learn how to get the whole thing, check out partiallyexaminedlife.com/support. This is your Partially Examined Life nightcap. We're recording this on August 9th, 2024. We had just recorded a rare episode with only two of us because Seth, who is still on vacation, and Dylan were on vacation. Do you want to report on your trip, Dylan?
I went sailing in Italy, which sounds awesome. And was awesome. It was some of the best sailing I've ever had in my life. We had days of great wind, nice fast boats, a couple nights hanging on an anchor. I got to speak Italian, which I'd been working on. And people actually spoke Italian back to me. It was fun. The only bad thing is I caught COVID when I got back, or on my way back. But now I'm feeling a lot better.
I think I recall Seth recording on a boat with us once. Am I making that up?
He did record with us on a boat.
Wouldn't have power, right? You wouldn't have internet.
You could have power because I don't know if he was in a slip or not. I could imagine having tried to do that except for the networking part. I mean, maybe someday, you know, we'll be 25 years into PEL and I'll be spending 3 months a year on a boat somewhere and I'll just record from a boat. So,
and we'll just have our virtual headset units so that we can just have glasses that go over our eyes and show the Zoom screen, you know, the mic built just a headset and have it be just as good quality as anything else we use.
That sounds pretty good, actually.
There probably are headsets now, if you paid, you know, $1,000, $2,000 that are as good as our mics. I have not researched them. All I know are the headsets that our guests sometimes bring on that probably were $40 and don't sound great. I've used one myself while on vacation and people still bitch about one of those Tractatus episodes, how I just, oh, that sounds terrible. You guys really whiffed on that. Well, I don't know if that's the whole thing, but I did it from the lake with the $20 headset.
Yep. I've not done that. So really enjoyed it. I was very lucky to go. It's fun.
And you read a bunch of Richard Rorty that we're going to record on very soon.
I had already read it, which is why I had suggested it. And so I'm rereading it now. I brought a book of poetry that I was reading and a book on the guy who wrote the big cancer history book. This is on a history of a cell. Emperor Maladies. The guy who wrote Emperor Maladies.
And typing the big cancer history book totally came up with the Emperor of Maladies. Google knew that what that was.
Yeah. And so I'm really enjoying this book on the history of the cell. Yeah, the author is Siddhartha Mukherjee. He's one of these, you know, super unsuccessful guys who like wrote four big books while also being a Harvard medical doctor and researcher kind of guy. This is a book about the cell, and it's a combination of history and also sort of learning about it. So there's a lot of technical detail in it, as well as about the technologies enabled by it. It's fun for me in two ways. One is, and Wes would probably remember all the stuff from freshman lab and senior lab about cells and the history of cells, you know, the sea urchins and stuff like that. So all these papers that he's referring to, I've read, which is kind of fun. It's also is philosophically interesting because of just thinking about organization of wholes and parts and the ways that, and just, I'm just reminded how much we're aggregates, even though we're units. We're genuine aggregates as multicellular creatures. So there's lots of really interesting stuff that comes to mind in thinking about organisms as fundamentally cell-based and how emergence and functional dependence, and it has me thinking about what to do in philosophy of biology.
Yeah, I was going to ask if there's any juice there for us.
There is for sure. I don't have anything specific, but I'm sure that there is some interesting stuff there.
What's on your mind, Wes?
I don't have anything on my mind.
Well, I wanted to ask Wes more about, I was thinking about conspiracy stuff because I put something in the Slack chat about, you know, there's this book that came out, which I haven't read. I just read an article about called Subhuman or Subhumans, which is apparently some kind of relatively right-wing screed, or maybe it's right-wing, relatively screedish thing, which has a combination of being very positive about things that I just never thought I'd ever hear people be positive about, like the Pinochet government or other glorifying Franco. It's just such a foreign thing to me. And it also, to me, it smacked and aligned with some of the conspiracy theory stuff that you talked about. It reminded me of that, you know, about the way in which you've brought up in the past, you know, things that you've been investigating about why conspiracy, the taxonomy, or maybe even just sort of the phenomenology of conspiracy theory. Because it seems to me, it feels to me like there's an intersection there with, broadly speaking, sort of authoritarian tendencies and, you know, doomsday type prognostications about the world, and that feed into calls for strong actions against unknown killers and unknown dangers in the world. That intersects with conspiracy theory.
What's the book called?
Called Subhuman, I think. One of the reasons it came up is because, of course, J.D. Vance wrote a blurb for it. Unhumans. It's called Unhumans.
Unhumans. Okay.
Yeah. It's by this guy named Jack Prosobiec.
Yeah, I know.
So I don't know who he is. I mean, some of the stuff,
he's an extreme conspiracy theorist. Yeah.
So of course, J.D. Vance wrote a blurb for it, and there's some in the introductions by Steve Bannon, stuff like that.
Yeah, J.D. Vance is he arouses the kind of hatred that people generally have for Trump, who I think is a clown, but I never was as emotionally affected by Trump as some people, because he's so, I don't know, he's like a child or something.
Are you more affected by Vance?
J.D. Vance pushes that button in me. Like, this is a total scumbag who arouses total hatred, and in part because he's a sellout, right? He wrote that book, Hillbilly Elegy, and pretended to be a moderate. It's almost like betrayal, right? He belongs in the ninth circle of hell, that type of thing. And just speaking of that for a second, it's interesting, like Kamala Harris, who's someone I, like many people, was not that fond of. It's interesting after Biden stepping down, her taking over, and that spark of youthfulness and the hope and everything, you know, produced a lot of fond feeling, I think, in me and other people who didn't expect to feel it. And then you sort of get the, it's interesting psychologically, the kinds of buttons it pushes. But getting back to the conspiracy theory part of it, many conspiracy theorists think of themselves as anti-authoritarian, right? And they see the world in terms of there's a nefarious and diabolical is the word that I like to use. There's a diabolical, and there's a diabolical authoritarian force that controls everything. And I call it diabolical because it's a malevolent force, a group of people, you know, a conspiracy of people who, in a way, their motivations transcend self-interest, and they transcend ordinary psychology. That's why it's diabolical. So it's cruel, and it wants to exploit and hurt and torture. It's completely sadistic, and it doesn't function by any ordinary psychological rules. So it would do crazy things like blow up some cabal, and the government would blow up the towers, the World Trade Center, because, right, even though that's not an efficient path to any goal, except for the diabolical goal.
Yes.
So I do think that, you know, in my experience, including with my father, who was kind of couldn't be politically classified, because everyone was evil to him. Every authority was evil and had all these. And there are a lot of conspiracy theorists who do kind of transcend classification, or they're voting for people like Kennedy.
Yes.
Who himself is a conspiracy theorist and also dumped a bear in Central Park. We found out recently.
That was one of the weirdest.
A weirdo and a conspiracy theorist.
The weirdest things I've read in a while. It's like, that's just weird.
If that sounds like the kind of thing that you want to hear more about, then please go to partiallyexaminedlife.com/support. Thanks for listening.